Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. Since the events of October 7th, Israel's made a series of strategic errors. For the most part, this has occurred because of the strategic blindness and weakness of the Biden administration. And there's no evidence either party has learned anything from these mistakes. To discuss these issues and more, I'm joined by my guest, Kovork Amasan in Berlin. He is founder of Syriana Analysis. And here in Moscow, we cross to Dmitry Babich. He is a political analyst at Sputnik International. All right, gentlemen, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. All right, let's start out in Berlin. Kovork, you know, in my introduction, I talked about strategic errors, and one strategic error compounds to another. I mean, what's really quite remarkable in the last few days, we've had the IDF, not the government, but the IDF, come out and say, you cannot defeat Hamas because Hamas is an idea. Well, that's kind of elementary to all of us that have been watching this conflict from the very beginning. And now we see it as a form of riff. I don't know. It could be just smoke and mirrors. We've seen these things before. But I mean, if you want to look at strategic errors, that's the number one. And then from there, it just compounds itself worse and worse until we get to this point almost 9 months later. Your thoughts?
Actually, I don't want to make any comparisons between Hamas and other Islamist organizations, but the U.S. has already warned Israel not to repeat the same mistakes that they have committed after the 9/11, right? I mean, Hamas is a natural development after decades of suppressing the Palestinians. At the beginning, the resistance was left-wing, it was a socialist, sometimes it was a nationalist, and all of them were called terrorists. And this has developed into more different versions, let's say, of an armed resistance against occupation. And now we have Hamas, because it's easy to use religion to bring the people and unite them together against the one enemy. So in this case, the Israelis have taken what is called a strategic decision to ethnically cleanse the Palestinians from the Gaza Strip. This is the decision because in a decade or two, they cannot sustain Israel as an apartheid country. Therefore, they want to ethnically cleanse the Palestinians. But this is a strategic mistake because they have underestimated the resistance in Gaza. And also on the grand scheme, they have underestimated the ideology behind the resistance. So now Hamas is in Gaza is an idea, and anyone in the Gaza Strip, any fighting age man, could join Hamas out of frustration, out of the grief for the pain that the Israelis are inflicting upon the Palestinians. So you don't have to believe in Hamas's ideology to join Hamas. You only have to believe that what the Israelis are doing in the Gaza Strip is wrong, and they have killed your family, and you want to fight against them. So this is a huge mistake by the Israelis, and the Americans are walking with Netanyahu. They're walking with him to the edge of abyss, and they're taking the people of the region with them to the edge of abyss. And we are very, very close to an Armageddon scenario, and I hope I'm wrong in this case.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about that later on. You know, in Dima, another strategic error is, I don't know if it's a good cop, bad cop strategy, where we have the Biden administration is for a two-state solution. You know, I'm so tired of hearing that rhetoric. It has gone nowhere. And then we have also the Israelis under the premiership of Netanyahu saying that there will be none. So I don't know if they're trying to just make a fool out of us, exhaust us, because that's a strategy, exhausting people. But I mean, again, you know, there's no coherence here. And as a result, both the United States and Israel look at fault here, and even worse. Dima.
Well, it's not the first time that the United States is sending conflicting signals. It's like, we consider Taiwan a part of China, but we want that part of China to be ready to fight China to the death, you know, and we are pumping arms into that part of China against the remainder of China. That's very strange, but that's what we hear. The same with this two-state solution. I think the history here is very complicated, but if we reduce it to a nutshell, basically what happened was that not immediately, but after 1967, the West started considering Israel a part of itself. And the ideology of the modern West, I call it ultra-liberalism, it presupposes that Western civilization is superior. All the other ones have to obey, they have to copy, This is achieved by more delicate means than in the 19th century. I mean, there's no need to occupy Algiers. You know, if you can Algiers formerly was a part of France, but everyone understood that the French there were not quite equal, right, to the Arabs living in Algiers. The Arabs were suppressed. So in the same way, little by little, West, in the same way as France abandoned Algiers, the West learned to pursue the same colonial policy by nice means, you know, operating through proxies, operating through the elites, sifting the resources out through offshore accounts. And Israel, for several reasons, does not have that privilege. You know, Israel now behaves like a 19th century colonial power, you know.
The problem is
funny situation.
The problem for Israel is there's the internet today.
Exactly.
I've used that argument before, is that if this were the 19th century, the genocide would be complete and it would be just left up to historians. Kovarik, it's one of the interesting things also is that, you know, because of the way Western media has framed the conflict, a very unequal conflict at that. I mean, when you say conflict, you say like there are two sides. Well, there are two sides. One has enormous power and the other is an occupied people. And, you know, again, I agree with you. You can call whatever you want Hamas, but it's a resistance group at the very least. Okay. But, you know, the problem is that the United States and Israel and its proxies in the West, they will never consider this as a colonial settler project. And it's something that doesn't work in the 21st century because of most of the countries of the world that we have today in the United Nations were victims of Western imperialism.
Look, it's very normal that the Americans and the Europeans do not consider Israel as an occupation or a colonial state because, as Bobby RFK said, Israel represents the eyes and the ears of the Western world and the Americans in the Middle East. And the Americans have implied and employed a very simple strategy that anyone can see through, and that is divide and conquer. And the Israelis have been dividing and conquering the region and also inviting American occupation in the region to do the bidding of the Israelis. They have done it in Iraq, they have done it in the regime change war in Syria, and now they are urging the Americans to fight their fight against the Hezbollah, against Iran. Therefore, it's very easy for me to see this the Israeli intention to bring the Americans into the region because they are in a very big dilemma at the moment. Yep. They are fighting against an armed resistance in Gaza. Call them whatever you want. These people are fighting with their sandals, and I'm watching their videos. And they are hitting Israeli forces. They're not killing babies. They're not killing women and children in the Gaza Strip. This is what I see from the footage, unlike the footage coming from the Israeli side. It's very easy nowadays in the era of social media to make comparisons and see the different military tactics of different sides. And therefore, at the moment, I truly see that the Israelis are in a really big trouble, and they see that their only way out from this is to bring the Americans into the region again. But this is not in the interest of the United States.
No,
if you think about it rationally, the Americans have no business at the moment to wage a war in the region. Their business, from their perspective, is Far East Asia, of what they see and say this is the threat coming from China, so they want to contain China. Therefore, this war in the Middle East, if the Americans come in, I say that it will be against the interests of the Americans in Ukraine and also against the American interests in Taiwan. They are exhausting their resources by coming to the region again. And this time, the players of the region, the state and non-state actors, are ready for the Americans. It's not 2003. All the parties are militarized, and all the parties have gained experience in the past two decades.
And they've been preparing for this for a quarter century, if we look at the Soleimani and his strategy. Dima, you said something, Israel likes to say they're an extension of the West, and the West says Israel's an Israelis say they're an extension as well. I mean, but, you know, given particularly the history of the United States with slavery and Jim Crow, how can the United States say that they share our values when it's an apartheid, racist, supremacist state? And the whole world sees the hypocrisy of that.
Let's view it ideologically. You know, the ideology of the West is totalitarian. Italia. I'm sure about that. I can give a lot of proof, you know, such as destruction of history, such as finding a group that is supposedly was so badly oppressed in the past that everyone has to go to the government, which supposedly represents that group. So a totalitarian ideology, if it has a world aspirations, and certainly the Western totalitarian ideology now has world aspirations, it has to push a very simple narrative. It should be a narrative that billions can understand. So the narrative about Israel was very simple. Poor refugees, you know, who suffered from Holocaust, found their final sanctuary in the Middle East. For some reason, the locals didn't like them, so there was this unfortunate conflict. Yes, there are some radicals among these refugees, we call them settlers, but all in all, they are moderate. This is a simplistic narrative, which is, of course, wrong, but it is being repeated all the time. I mean, I'm sorry, in Russia, we have the same simplistic narrative from the West about Ukraine. Like, Russia is a colonial power, and Ukrainians were always second-rate people. This is simply not true. Ukraine, Soviet Ukraine, was a part of Soviet elite, you know. Yes. Brezhnev and Khrushchev came from Ukraine, after all. But because people, most of the people, have no time to go to a library and see for themselves, they sometimes buy that Western narrative. But the Western narrative about Israel is just getting too aggressive. Let me quote the Wall Street Journal, you know, just a few days ago. The article is headlined, "Israel and the Surrender of the West." The author is Shelby Steele. Here is what the author writes, just very quickly. "Today, we in the West are reluctant to use our full military might, lest we seem imperialistic. We hesitate to enforce our borders, lest we seem racist. In the same way, like, we are hesitant to help Israel, lest we seem cruel." And then they say, "Palestinians are not oppressed. The problem of Palestinians is that they have an internalized sense of inferiority. And the quickest cover for inferiority is hatred," period. So this is a very nice way to explain, you know, people see how thousands of children, women, are being killed every day. And then someone from the Wall Street Journal says, "Oh, no, that's not important. These people are suffering because they have some psychological problem."
Well, you know, I'm going to have to jump in here to go to a break, but no, there's a psychotic group of people in Washington and Israel that are doing this. It's not the Palestinians. Gentlemen, I have to jump in here. We're going to go to a short break, and after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on some real news. Stay with RT. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. Trumanji, we're discussing some real news. Kvark, let me go back to you. We have Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, invited to address a joint session of Congress in July. When you look at Western media, they're looking at the optics of this with in terms of the American election. Will he embarrass Biden? Will he empower the MAGA group? You know, and how the Speaker of the House, Johnson, will handle and all that. I find that all very absurd and immaterial, because the whole world is going to be watching this. What the ICJ is doing, what the ICC is doing, and then they're going to roll out the red carpet for Benjamin Netanyahu. I can't think of a worse soft power thing for the West to do right now than that. It's really absurd, and if whatever legitimacy that the West thinks it has left is going to be put on full display for everyone to dismiss. Go ahead.
I remember when the Ukrainians thought it was a brilliant idea to invite Greta Thunberg to meet with President Zelensky, who is the PR guy who told Zelensky that this was a good idea. Like, this is just polarizing the discussion, right, even further. And similarly with Benjamin Netanyahu, we have considerable number of course, Greta Thunberg is not a war criminal. I'm not trying to compare her with, I'm just saying in the PR scheme, Benjamin Netanyahu is hated by by many, many people in the United States, and mostly
including Israel.
I mean, this guy is so polarizing that even if the people who want to support Israel, when they see Benjamin Netanyahu and people who shake hands with Benjamin Netanyahu come out of the meeting and say, this guy is a psychopath. This guy can kill thousands of people without blinking an eye. Everybody knows who is Benjamin Netanyahu. And his testimony is since the 80s and the 90s and how he shaped or urged the Americans to go into wars in the region. I think this will also send a very, very bad signal to the vast majority of the global South who are watching what's happening in the Gaza Strip as a microscope and seeing that this could be the same. This same example could be normalized in their own countries, because sure, if they can kill the Palestinians like they are flies and they are subhumans, they can do the same thing in Africa. They can do the same thing in other Middle Eastern countries and in Asia. So inviting Netanyahu, despite all his crimes, sends the signal to the rest of the world that the Americans are not interested in human rights, in democracy, and all the cliches that they have been preaching in the past decades. And this is also going to help the alternative powers in Russia and in China. Many people support Russia in Ukraine, not because they love Russia or what Russia is doing in Ukraine, because they see through this conflict that this is a proxy war against the United States and against NATO, and they want to be liberated in their own countries from American imperialism. Therefore, they support the Russian special military offensive in Ukraine. So I don't understand who is really advising the Biden administration or the Congress in this case, but this is very counterproductive, in my opinion.
I don't know who's calling the shots right here. More and more often, it seems like it's the political elite in Israel and AIPAC and its equivalents all through the Western world. That's the only explanation. I mean, Anthony Blinken, I can't figure out if he's the U.S. Secretary of State or he's the foreign minister of Israel. And I think and a lot of off-the-cuff comments coming out of the region after, I don't know, he's been there 8 times on this shuttle stuff, you know. I mean, they don't think he's, you know, why is he speaking when they can listen to what the Israelis have to say? He has nothing original to say, and he won't even defend the interests of his own country. It's really exasperating for a lot of people. Dima.
Well, coming back to the idea that we had in the beginning of our conversation, Israel is behaving like a 19th century Western colonial power. So during the last 100 years, the West has become so much more hypocritical. I mean, you cannot just openly say that you will suppress these subhumans. You have to use some other phrases, talking about multi-ethnicity and talking about multiculturalism, right? And the problem of the West is that Israel is not using this sentimental rhetoric. You know, Israel just saying outright what the West wanted to do and what they want to do. And Blinken is faced with a dilemma. Here is that country that we have to support, but they use terrible rhetoric. How do you deal with that? And, in the end of the day, it suddenly turns out that the West is ready to support Israel. It's like, when the West is just about ready to abandon Israel, Israel is saying, we're a part of you or not. You know, it's like Mr. Hyde talking to Dr. Jekyll.
Well,
forget.
But Dima, overall impression for the last almost 9 months is that, and you look at people like Jake Sullivan and Anthony Blinken, and who knows what Biden thinks about anything. But I mean, when you look at these policymakers, what worries them most is the perception of what's going on, not what exactly is happening. It's the way people see it. Kovark, let me go to you back in Berlin.
You can do commit a crime if it's not revealed. If you pack this crime in nice rhetoric and no one knows, do it. That's the message.
That's my point.
Pack it in nice rhetoric.
Peter, do you know the special envoy of Biden administration, Amos Hochstein, was in the region last week?
And yeah, but I'm going to chop you. I'm going to tell you something you probably don't know. At least I hope you don't know. Keep going.
Amos Hochstein is a former IDF soldier.
Yes.
He was a tank crew. He was in the Israeli military, and he is a double citizen. He is a dual citizen. He has an Israeli passport, and he was in Lebanon delivering a message to the regional countries, telling them that Hezbollah has to withdraw to the north of Litani or else. What's the else? It's an invasion of the Israelis.
Well,
to the
before
southern
we
Lebanon.
Talk about that, which I want to do, there's another thing you forgot about his CV. Did you know that he was a director on the energy company Burisma?
No, but
there
he was.
There you go. I surprised you. Okay, I only learned that yesterday. Okay, you touched on Lebanon.
Oh,
let's stay
God.
With it. Let's stay with Lebanon here. The only way, okay, Israel has experienced a strategic defeat in Gaza. Okay, and that's not going to hold them back. The only way that they can move forward is to expand the conflict. And they, given what we've seen the last 9 months, or like since 1967 or 1948, pick whatever year you want, the United States is going to fight for Israel when in Lebanon. And I think the United States is going to be very surprised. Said other way, you better keep your aircraft carriers as far away as possible, because they're going to be targets. Your thoughts on this? Because I think we're all resigned that one way or another, there's going to be a conflict in the north. Go ahead.
You agree or disagree with Hezbollah? You have to give them the credit that when they say we're going to do something, they do this. And they said we're going to completely destroy the air bases of Israel and also the ports, which means the Israelis now have to use the airports in Cyprus. And the Secretary General of Hezbollah said if Israel uses the airports of Cyprus, then they will be considered legitimate targets, and geographically they are able to hit these targets. Therefore, Israel at the moment, they haven't only failed to ethnically cleanse the Palestinians, they lost deterrence vis-a-vis their enemies. They also lost this equation of that Israel is a safe haven for the Jewish people. Therefore, they have to expand this war or accept defeat. Because if they expand the war and the Americans intervene, they could hope for a better outcome of this conflict. But alone themselves, they're unable to decisively finish their enemies, including Hamas or Hezbollah. That's why their interest, this is how they see it, is to invite American intervention, and the Americans are going to fight for Israel, and the Brits are going to fight for Israel. So this is a very dangerous escalation in the region, and nobody wants this war. Iranians do not want this war. The Syrians don't want this war. Even Hezbollah told the Americans, we don't want to expand this war. We want ceasefire in Gaza, and we will finish the operations. So impose ceasefire in Gaza, and we end these hostilities against Israel. But the Israelis lost this plot in the Gaza Strip, because their strategic goal was to push the Palestinians to Sinai, and the Egyptians blocked the borders. They didn't accept the Palestinians. So in a decade, if this apartheid will collapse, then what is going to be the fate of any democratic one-state solution? The Arabs will be the majority. And in any election, they could get the prime ministership, right? So this is a dangerous situation for the Israelis.
Well, I mean, that's assuming that the West will ever live up again to its principles of democracy, because democracy in the West is crumbling as well. So maybe it will be a better chance elsewhere. You know, Dima, it's interesting what our guest in Berlin said, because it's very much like the Ukrainians, the Zelensky crowd. They were given a good deal in 2022. I think five times the Russian side of proposed negotiations. We had that also last week. So, but the longer it goes on, like for Israel, the longer the conflict goes on, the more dangerous it is for Israel. The longer it goes on for Ukraine, more dangerous for Ukraine.
The parallel is even more obvious. When Israelis are basically threatening to use Cyprus as an airbase, which is very much like what we hear, like F-16s that the West will give Ukraine, they may not even be serviced at the airfields in Ukraine, maybe in Poland or in Romania. Then Russia says they will be legitimate targets, and the West is saying, no, this is an attack against NATO, don't do it. So it's a classical hypocrisy. But basically, I think that this what apartheid is very important. Russia condemned the armed attack of Hamas on the 7th of October. But with Hezbollah, it's a different story, because Hezbollah is defending Lebanon. And even objective Western media, they write that Hezbollah did not attack Israel. Hezbollah is responding to hostile actions. by Israel. And what is the alternative? I mean, when Israel says that the United States say, "Oh, why don't Arabs just surrender?" Well, it reminds me of the situation in which Russians live in Estonia and in Latvia, and in the part of Ukraine which is still controlled by Zelensky. Even liberal Russians, anti-Putin Russians who live there, say this is a buffer. Russians living in Estonia live separately from the Estonians. And the West writes about it in its newspapers and supports it. I mean, read what they write about Estonians.
Dima, we've run out of time, but I'm glad we ended on that. You know, the West supports apartheid, many apartheids around the world, apparently. Yeah. That's all the time we have, gentlemen. I want to thank my guests in Berlin and in Moscow. And of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, Crosstalk rules.